What's up, y'all? And Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. That's coming. And welcome to the Soccer Comic Rant. This is Ian Edwards. And how was it, y'all? Oh, so nobody's just going to answer. Y'all just going to be silent. All right, cool. I'll just keep it moving. If you're listening to this podcast, you're listening at allthingscomedy.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, Libsyn. You can follow me at Ian Edwards Comic on Instagram and Ian Edwards Comic on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook. And the sponsor for the podcast is onthevolleyapparel.com. And you could go there and they have ladies and men's tanks, tees, hoodies, and sweatshirts with a hip hop soccer logos on the front. Cool as shit. Fly as fuck. Go there, use my promo code Comic Rant, and you get 30% off anything you buy. My boy Elvis will hook you up. And yeah, we're now in the middle of like Christmas football and the Premiership. The league is still going, and it's a very intense time because they're playing games on top of games. It's like 1 hour rest in between each match. And so let's get into it. Let's go down the tables and tell you what's going on. So right after Christmas, Boxing Day, they had a bunch of games. Everybody played. And then somebody played yesterday. Southampton, West Ham played yesterday. But Liverpool played on Wednesday. And Liverpool played, let me get the right one. They played Newcastle and they treated them like they were Newcastle. They beat them mercilessly. 4 goals. They got 4 goals. 4-0, Liverpool, Newcastle. They get points. They stay at the top of the table. And let me just discuss some things that happened in this game. First of all, Dejan Lovren scored a professional forward quality goal in the 11th minute, like just pinged it into the net. He's just showing that he could play football all over the goddamn field. And last season, he had a kind of a rough season. He didn't start a lot for Liverpool at the beginning of this season, but he's been watching Liverpool games and they've put them in the lineup a lot lately. And yeah, they fucked Newcastle up. Poor Benitez. I never thought I'd ever say this, but poor Benitez. His squad is outmanned, out-qualitied, and he's like, how is a Paul Dumet gonna stop a Shaqiri, a Salah, a Firmino, a Mane? How is a Jamal LaSalle's gonna stop a Shaqiri, a Mane, a Salah, Sterling, deal with a Fabinho, a Wijnaldum, who is just on the low, just rising, the stock is rising on the low. Nobody's paying attention, it feels like. Nobody's ever really talking about Wijnaldum. But this dude is really pretty fucking good. So, Newcastle, that didn't really spend any money. Their owner's always trying to sell their team every day and then pulling out of the deals. And it's just the only person doing less tinkering at Newcastle is the tinker. I call him the tinker man. People call Ranieri the tinker man, but I think Benitez tinkers too much. He definitely tinkered too much at Real Madrid. But props Ranieri for only getting beat 4-0. Good job. Did your thing. Now, Liverpool's at the top of the table. They have 51 points in 19 games. Jesus Christ. Their goal difference is plus 36. They've only let in 7 goals. Scored 43. And their next match at Anfield is Arsenal. And that's going to be a banger. Now, the last time they played, it was a draw, I think. So, that was at Anfield. That was at Emirates. But not at the Emirates. I'm blanking right now. Whatever they called, I think it's the, whatever they called where Arsenal plays. Fuck it. Can't remember right now. It's early morning. But wherever Arsenal plays. I know it, but it's gone out of my mind right now. So that's my excuse. So Liverpool is first, 51 points. Now here's the shocker. The shocker is who's number two on the table. Last week, Man City was breathing down Liverpool's neck. Now they are no longer breathing down Liverpool's neck. They are breathing down Spurs' neck because Spurs is number two with 45 points. Spurs is 6 points behind Liverpool. Yes, which means, I guess you all been paying attention. Why am I trying to act like this is a surprise? Man City lost this Wednesday. But we'll get to that. Now Spurs, they dismantled Bournemouth 5-0, like showing true power, force. It's like they hit them 9.5 earthquake style, like pretty much. And then they have to, Bournemouth has to play this weekend after that. It's like, let's see what the bounce back from that is going to be like. Could, you know. Sad thing is we have to play them. So if you get beat 5-0, you're going to try probably a lot harder. Especially if you, like Bournemouth. Well, I'll get into Bournemouth, but let's just talk about this game. Scoring started early with Christian Eriksen, then Sun Min, then Lucas Moura, Harry Kane. Everybody got a piece. Everybody got a taste. Kyle Walker-Peters, like I saw him play earlier this year and he wasn't so great. And I forgot about him that they had him from last year, but he had 3 assists in this game. So good for him. That's another England back player. He's a right back. So we're just making right backs. And actually, Spurs is just making British right backs and left backs. We're good at backs. We've been good at making backs for a minute. And Manu doesn't have any of them. So it's hilarious. We got Shaw. That's it. Young is old. So. But yeah, Spurs, man. Had this game won by the half. It's crazy because, Bournemouth probably left himself open, attacked them. That's their style. But Spurs is, this is where you see the difference in quality of player between Spurs and Bournemouth. I believe Eddie Howe is a good coach, and he might actually, ironically, end up being the next coach of Spurs if Pochettino leaves, because he kind of runs Bournemouth the same way Pochettino is running Spurs. So, if Poch leaves and go to Man U, the repercussions could be that Eddie Howe leaves Bournemouth and goes to coach Spurs because he knows how to work with a budget and he produces attractive football. It's like, you know, it's a good C movie he's got going on down here at Bournemouth. You know, you want to see it if you ain't got nothing else to do. But he could take that to a nice Hollywood studio in London and coach Tottenham Hotspurs if things get shaken up at the end of the year. But Spurs, rolling on hard. Is there anything else I want to say about these guys? Bournemouth had 14 shots, only 4 on target. Spurs had 7 on target and got 5 goals out of that. So, That's where the quality, the difference in quality is in those stats right there. Spurs had 10 shots. Bournemouth had 14 shots. Now, only four of Bournemouth's 14 shots were actually on target. Seven of Spurs' shots were on target, but five of those motherfuckers hit the back of the net. Who's Bournemouth's keeper? Yeah, Begovic. Yeah, Paul. Get it together. Let's keep going down the table. Man City, they are number three. Crazy. They are 6 points off the back of the neck of Liverpool and 1 point off the back of the neck of Spurs. This is so crazy. Like, a few weeks ago, this was a two-horse race. Now, it's definitely at least three, maybe four, because Chelsea's not that far behind. Chelsea's 4 points away from Man City. Spurs has Wolves coming up this week, just to go back to Spurs. I don't know how much energy Spurs exerted. It's at Wembley. And so we'll see. We'll see. We'll see, you know, what Spurs can do to Wolves. But I'll give Spurs a win on this one. They seem like they're on a mission. But sometimes when teams seem like they're on a mission and they're going to, like surge up, yeah, this is when they power down at the wrong moment, especially in December. Everybody keeps saying there's a lot of games, but everybody has to play a lot of games. So it's just how you handle the same schedule that everybody else has. So I'll put my money for Spurs to. Wolves could draw blood and take one of the points. So I'll say this is a tie. Spurs is coming off a 5-goal game high. You know, they might not handle Wolves with the respect that they should. So I'll say a tie. Let's go to Man City. They're number three in the league. Man City, the champs from last year. And the gap between them and the top of the table, it's only 6 points. I'm sure Liverpool is going to stumble. Pep is going to get in his team's asses. But it's crazy. Man City has lost three of their last five. Like, if you go to the Premier League table and just look at the dots that represents the last five games of Man City, it's not the colors. Like, they give you green dots for the win, red for the losses, and Man City has three red L's in their last five. Just something you wouldn't see, something you didn't see last year. So they've lost to Chelsea 2-0. Then they won. They beat Everton 3-1. And then they lost to Crystal Palace, which is a total shocker. But then Leicester provided another shocker this week on Wednesday when they beat them 2-1. Now, the thing... Let me see. So let me see this Chelsea loss. Let me click on this. So I'm going to the Chelsea loss. I'm going to go to their lineup. So I'm looking at their lineup. Fernandinho was there for the Chelsea loss. All right. And then I just want to see what they're like without Fernandinho. And against Everton, who they beat 3-1, Fernandinho was there. All right. So let me keep going back. Let me keep going forward. My bad. And then they played Crystal Palace, who they lost 3-2 to last week, and some amazing goals were scored against them. I don't know, when the balls went in the back of Man City's net, they're like, shit, I thought we took that shot. That's one of our type of goals. And Fernandinho was absent from that game when they lost to Crystal Palace. So Chelsea, I understand them losing. You know, they're competitive. They have a team. But now against Crystal Palace, you lose without Fernandinho. Let me go back to this. So you lose without Fernandinho against Crystal Palace. Because he's really good back there. And they've also been playing Delph in these games. And Delph had an assist against in the Crystal Palace game. And he got a red after two yellows this week on a follow-through tackle. So, and let me see. I'm just trying to figure out what's really, you know, you can say they lost to Leicester, you know, but why? Is it something missing as far as a player? Because some of the pundits are saying there's a one player they can't do without, and it's Fernandinho. So Fernandinho wasn't there for the Crystal Palace loss, and he wasn't there for the Leicester loss. But here's my thing. So they're resting him or he's injured. I have to check. But here's my thing. Like, if Man City doesn't win the league this year and Liverpool does, I will not be surprised. And this is my summation of why. Because in life, you get what you're really focused on, subconsciously or consciously. You end up where you're focused. And to me, Pep is more focused on Champions League and winning that this year than the Premiership. So if Man City doesn't win the Premiership this year, I know it'll just tell me that Pep is more focused on Champions League. That's what he really wants. He hasn't won since Barca. He didn't win one at Bayern. And now he's at Man City. So, you know, the heart wants what the heart wants, and some other things have to suffer. And the Premiership might be it. And Man City aren't doing bad. They have 44 points out of 19 games played. They have a plus 36 goal difference. Only 15 goals have been scored against them. They've scored 51 goals and they're third. Crazy, crazy stats. Halfway point. And Chelsea is fourth. They got 40 points. They beat Watford. Yeah. Trying to see if I remember that game. Chelsea versus Watford. Let me look at some stats for that game. Saw that game. Pretty good game. But Watford tried to hang. De La Foya and the crew tried to hang, but could not. And Hazard got two goals. One was a penalty. That goalkeeper for Watford made some mistakes, I feel. Ben Foster fucked up. The way he came out on the first Hazard goal, and he'd been beaten before, but the ball just hit the side net the same way, and then Hazard beat him again. Yeah. It's judgment, measurements, issues. Judgment issues on Ben Foster's part, measurement issues on his part. I don't know, man. The foul on Hazard for the penalty in the first place, just rushing out and clattering into him in the box. Just, he was lucky to stay there for the end of the game. But Foster, get it together, bro. Especially if you ever want to be, I don't even want to see you in the England jersey right now, bro. Keep practicing at Watford. But Watford fought hard. Deeney was doing his thing. De La Foya, you know. I'm glad they're using De La Foya. And Watford, this Marco Silva is their coach. I don't think he's as good as a coach as English pundits think. He's like some, I don't see what they see. No disrespect, but I don't see what they see. I mean, Watford's not having a bad season, but it's not as good as they talk about him. So, I don't get it. Not impressed, Marco Silva, but it's not your job to impress me. So, Chelsea's fourth, and they play Crystal Palace, who's on an upset streak of at least one because they just beat Man City. So, Chelsea, if they want to stay with the pack, they have to win. Beat Crystal Palace at Palace. So, I'll say they can do it. Let's go to who's number five. It's Arsenal. And Arsenal had a draw against Brighton Hove. And, yeah, man. Arsenal has 38 points. You can't drop points to Brighton Hove, Arsenal. Great job, coach. Black coach, Chris. Brighton Hove Albion. Just taking points from people. Representing. But Arsenal, if I feel like, man, you can catch Arsenal. And how much better is Arsenal this year, really, than they were last year? Like, they start off the season with two losses. Then they went on a long double-digit lose-less streak, won a bunch of games. But now, in their last five games, they've had two draws and a loss. Now, the loss was against Southampton, a team they should be able to beat. That was Southampton with their new coach first day. And they drew Man U, a team they should have beat because, you know, we had Mourinho coaching us at the time. So, and now you draw with Brighton Hove. And you got Liverpool coming up. So you could really, our crosstown rivals could really do us a favor. Beat you guys. Keep your 38 points. And if we beat Bournemouth, we crawl 3 points closer to you. So Liverpool, come on, Liverpool. Do your thing, bro. Don't fuck this up. Take Arsenal out. Man United is six. We've won two games since Solskjaer got there. And the games were 5-1 against Cardiff and 3-1 against Huddersfield. And we're attacking. And we look better than we do under Mourinho. The only problem is we beat Cardiff and Huddersfield. So they're not really great teams. But we beat them by the amount of goals, if you're a top team, that you should beat Cardiff and Huddersfield by. So we're beating poor teams as if we're a top six, top five, top four team. So that's a good sign. This week, Sunday, we play Bournemouth. Bournemouth is 12th in the table, and we'll get to that. And you can't sleep on them. They will attack, and they can score. And so it's a stronger test. It's at Man U. And, you know, this is just a thing you have to watch. Is Solskjaer really a good coach? He used to coach for Cardiff in the Premiership. They went down. But it was probably his first coaching job. He's been in Norway learning, and He's better now. He's back at a team where he knows the youth players who are now in the professional number one squad. There's a lot of good things going. Nicky Butt is there. There's a lot of, he's talking to Ferguson. He's got Mike Phelan with him. This is a really good situation for Solskjaer and Manu. We got a lot of good things. You know, Pogba's loosening up and having fun. So let's see how this works out against Bournemouth. It's a stronger test than Cardiff and Huddersfield. But if you're Manu, you should and have to beat these teams. We've lost enough games to teams like this year. So, like we've had our losses for the year. We've had the amount of losses that we, and let in the amount of goals that we should have for a season. We're only plus six in goal difference, and that's only since Solskjaer got there in those last two games. So, the players definitely look better. There's some good combo play, for especially for, was it the first Pogba goal? And yeah, pretty good goal, man. And it's like a pool player calling corner pocket, and just smoothly shot passing it past the goalkeeper, with only the post could stop it. Just the right amount on both of his goals. So we just, Pop would keep it up. He's playing harder for the coach. The fog, the funk, the depression has been lifted. A lot of ex-players or pundits are like, people just want to shit on Manu, and they're like, oh, I can't believe they're playing and winning now. You know, well, that's because, first of all, the system has changed. Before, they were defending. So, yeah, they didn't score any fucking goals because they were told to defend first. So, you're saying the players sabotage Mourinho, but literally, they were obeying Mourinho's orders, so he sabotaged himself. 80% of the problem, I feel, in my estimation, with Manu was with Mourinho. It's Mourinho's fault. He brought it on himself. I'm sure there were some things that he didn't like and that he didn't get his way, but the whole approach to the preseason was wrong, and it carried into the season, and now he's gone. So, Bournemouth at Manu, money's always on Manu. Let's go. Leicester, two wins in a row, big wins against Chelsea and against Man City. Your giant killers. You're number seven in the table. You got 28 points. Your next game is against Cardiff. Don't tell me you're going to lose to Cardiff. Don't tell me you're going to beat Man City and Chelsea and then lose to Cardiff. And it's at Leicester, even though my cousin plays for Cardiff. That would be crazy. But that would also be football. But yeah, Claude Puel, the powder face vampire, keeps his job after these two big wins, and you can't fire him when Leicester's seventh. You know, right behind Man U. So he was in trouble. Word was out, but he's got his job and he's still going. And Vardy and Madison over there doing big things, scoring winning goals. Albrighton scored a huge goal. And Ricardo Pereira, I looked this guy up last week because he didn't have an assist, but he had the assist to the person who gave the assist in the Vardy goal in the Chelsea game. And I saw him come up the back of the field. I said, who the fuck is this guy dribbling through Chelsea players like that? I want to make sure it was Chelsea. Leicester, yeah, dribbling through Chelsea players like that. And it was very impressive. So then I mentioned him on the show last week. And then he scores another, like, right back goal. Similar to what Man City conceded last week. When he scored a Townsend goal, but opposite side of the goal. Just these, one of those World Cup Pavard strikes. There's been a lot of defender, like, rocket launches. Like, Lovren just scored one. Like, just in football lately. Period. So, look out for Ricardo Pereira, man. He might not be with Leicester long. He might be that gem. How old is he? I said it last week. He's 25. First season. I like him. That goal cost Man City second place. They're in third because of that goal. It's worth it. It's worth every jingle of the net. All right. So Leicester, Everton is eighth. They won. What the fuck, Burnley? Everton beat Burnley 5-1. Like, you're like, at Burnley. Like, we keep talking about Burnley. Are they going to get their shit together? But they're getting it less and less together. You lose 5-1 to Everton. Everton, who lost their last two. Last week, the weekend before, Everton loses to Tottenham 6-2. And they got embarrassed. And then they're like, we're going to take this shit out on the next motherfucker we see. And the next motherfucker they saw was Burnley. And they put 5 past Burnley. Unbelievable. Still, Everton, you don't belong in the top 5 or the top 6. But a 5-1 win against Burnley, the way they played last year, is impressive. Like, what happened to Burnley's defense? Like, last year, their defense was the thing. It was like, they might not be able to score on you last year, but you couldn't score on them. And now, shit. I feel like I could score on Burnley right now. They're having a terrible time in the Premiership this season. They're like high off their accomplishments last year. Like, I was watching an interview with Graham Lasso, and he played for Blackburn when they won the Premiership, and then the next season wasn't so great. It's because, like, you have a championship hangover. Like, Burnley's having a championship hangover without winning a championship. Like, finishing in the top 10 last year was a championship to them. And these celebrations might get them deported to the championship if they keep this up. So, Everton plays Brighton Hove, who can cause trouble. Ask Arsenal. Shit, and ask Man U. So, but I think it's a team Everton could beat. West Ham this week, they beat Southampton this Wednesday. I was expecting more of a... It was a good game. There was a lot of fight in this game. I just expected Southampton to be more aggressive. And West Ham was the aggressor. Like, and I think for a team... I don't think West Ham... If it looked like Southampton was kind of sitting back and trying a new tactic and they didn't press as much, but they played hard, they just lost. They scored first, I think. See if I remember. They scored first, and then West Ham went ahead, tied it on a Felipe Anderson goal 3 minutes right after the Redmond goal. Philippe Anderson got what the tying goal back, and then on a fast break down the field, assist from Mikel Antonio, bam, Philippe Anderson ripped the Southampton net apart again, went ahead, and Southampton couldn't get it back. So it's the first loss for the Southampton coach. Sorry, Lee, you were at the game in England, sitting there watching your coach for the first time, day after Christmas, and yeah, Santa ain't shit, son. But West Ham, man, they won 4 out of their last 5. They're climbing up the table. They have 27 points. They're in 9th. Pellegrini. Watford, they're in 10th. They got all kind of colors representing their last 5 games. They got 2 reds for 2 losses, 2 greens for 2 wins, and a gray for a draw. So that's Watford style. And, you know, they lost to Chelsea, who, you know, you'd expect to beat them. Put up a fight. Good ball. And coming up, they got Newcastle. And I don't know. Let's see if Newcastle is as embarrassed as Everton was when they lost to Spurs 6-2 and tries to get revenge on Watford. We'll see. But Watford should be able to handle Newcastle. Or Benitez, this could go both ways. Benitez can coach him up a tie or a win. Wolverhampton Wanderers, they draw against Fulham. So Fulham's getting the points. Fulham, that's 2-1 points in a row. Fulham and Sessegnon, I think it's Sessegnon. Let me make sure he scored for Fulham. This is a good game. This is good football. I wasn't bored waking up 4:30 in the morning, day after Christmas, and watching like Fulham play. Wasn't bad. Sessegnon scored. 74th minute. Tied up. Not to take the lead, actually. And then Wolves scored. Was that guy... It's kind of a questionable goal, but not really. 85th minute. And Wolves... So Fulham's doing what they can do to try to climb out of the bottom slowly, trying to climb out of the relegation zone slowly. It's like baby steps momentum. And Wolverhampton Wanderers just, they're in 11th and newly promoted team. And this is really not bad. So all the money that they spent to get out the championship is paying off in the premiership. So just keep this up. You got 26 points, 14 points left, and you're saved. And you got 26 points in 19 games, and I think there's 19 games left because each team plays 38. So if my math, so if you got 26 points in 19 games, you could definitely get 14 points to be safe in the next 19 games. Unless you get tired and run out of gas and people beat the fumes off you. But we'll see. Bournemouth, they're 12th, 26 points, tied with Wolverhampton on points. They lost to Spurs 5-0. They got drubbed. And you got Man U coming up at Man U. So you are susceptible to losing 2 games in a row. You are susceptible also to winning. What's the biggest? Last year, Bournemouth has beaten Man U before. So we've had trouble with this team. So this is just, this is the most nervous I've been since Solskjaer has been our coach for Man U. And he's only been a coach for 2 games. So let's see. Like, I just think Man U has better quality. And once we start playing real football, we'll be fine. But you can get beat on any day. So I'm not really saying anything. But Bournemouth is 12th. And the way they play, we could take advantage of them and score some goals and stay ahead of them. So that's what I'm counting on. Brighton Hove is 13th. They got 22 points, 4 points behind Bournemouth. They played Arsenal. They got a draw. Good point. But this draw came after 3 losses. They lost to Bournemouth. They lost to Chelsea. They lost to Burnley. Now you got Everton coming up. Still in 13th. It's not bad for a team second year from the championship in the league. Not bad. Decent. Crystal Palace, 0-0 against Cardiff. So Cardiff got a point. Crystal Palace, I think last year this time you might have been in the relegation zone. So you're above it now. So this is good for you. Just keep eking points out here and there. He's definitely got some issues. You're consistently inconsistent, Crystal Palace. That's your thing. You win some, you lose some, you draw some. You mix it up. Your portfolio is diversified. You got 5 wins, 4 draws. Is that 10 losses? Yep. Yeah, you mix it up. Newcastle. Doing good for Newcastle. They're 15th. Lost this week to Liverpool 4-0. That's a Newcastle-ish result against a top team. Team that's at the top of the table. So you, even though you lost, you're still doing good enough for you to be, to have 17 points and be 3 points above the relegation zone. So you're good. Southampton, 16th. You were in the relegation zone, I think, earlier this year. You're not in there in December. You're 2 places above it. You got 15 points. You're number 16th in the league. You just lost to West Ham. Good game. You fought. You know, it's like when they, you know, there was a lot of passes that didn't connect in this game. It's not because the passing was not accurate. It's because of the effort on both sides to break up each other's passes. Like, a lot of people would run and intercept the other team's passes. So it was like exciting, disconnected passing. And then there was good passing on top of it. You guys went back and forth. West Ham just seemed stronger on the day. But I think all Southampton wants to do this season is just stay up. I don't think they're going to strengthen their team in the offseason. Like, what is Southampton's plan? I mean, staying up and hovering above the relegation zone doesn't sound like a plan. But if you're an owner, it's a plan because you just keep making that premiership money and premiership, and your team is profitable. So, and your overhead is low. So I guess that's the plan. Figure that out. All right, Southampton. Good luck against Man City on Sunday, because you're going to need all of it. All of it. Like, because if Burnley wins, they could suck you. They could jump you. Burnley wins, a Cardiff win, they jump you. Well, Cardiff wins and you lose, which it looks like you're going to do. Like, City's mad now. They've just lost more than they thought they would lose. So they're going to pounce on your ass, son. They're going to pounce you. But let's see what the new coach can do. Is he won two in a row. Is he going to lose two in a row? Can't get mad at him for losing to Man City. It is Man City. They are the champs. They are the third place champs. Man City. Cardiff, Cousins team, doing, hey, you're 17th, one spot above the relegation zone, got 15 points, last game was a draw, two games before that was a loss, one before, you know, see, they lost to Man U, lost to Watford, you beat Southampton, that was the last straw, that's when they fired the coach, Hughes got bounced. So he did something. Got rid of Hughes. And lost to West Ham. And so now you got Leicester, who just beat two giants, two big boys. And one thing, Cardiff looks like they fight every week. They don't get the results, but they fight. So just keep fighting. Burnley, three losses in a row. Who are you? I don't even recognize you people. You're number 18. You're in the relegation zone. You got 12 points out of 19 games. Who the fuck are you? You're playing West Ham on Sunday. You fit right into the West Ham diet. They're on a good run. You're exactly who they want to see right now. You lose 5-1 to Everton. You come out the other side of that grinder. And you have to face West Ham, who's ninth in the table, one behind the team that you lost 5-1 to. Tied on points with them. So, and West Ham is feeling themselves. They're getting into the shape. They got injuries, but they're getting into the shape and the vibe that they want to. I saw Andy Carroll sighting. What if Arnautovic comes back and plays? I have to figure out what's wrong with you. I have to like read some articles and find out, because was it a personal? This is the mystery. This is the Bermuda Triangle of the Premiership. Like, there's always a mystery, like every season. So is it the hangover from finishing in the, like, what is it? It's a personal change. Is Sean Dyche taking his foot off the pedal? Does he know where the pedal is? I don't know what's going on. But you're 18th. And Fulham, 19th. Two draws in a row. Sorry, so you got some points. So three draws in your last five. All right, so okay. But you got Huddersfield. You can get a point from them. Are you going to point this thing out? Point your way out of the relegation zone? Are you going to get a 3 point? Are you going to lose? But Ranieri, keep coaching them. Let's see if you can pull something off and get this team going even harder than they are now. Huddersfield at the bottom, five losses in a row. Let me see how bad they were. You lost 2-1 to Bournemouth, 1-0 to Arsenal, so you put up a fight there. Then you lost 1-0 to Newcastle, put up a fight there, but you should have. 3-1 to Southampton. Okay. That's when they got their new coach. They just came in, disrespected you. And 3-1 to Huddersfield, to Man United. So now you're at the bottom of the ocean. Like, literally, you're lower down on the ocean floor than the Titanic was or is. Your 20th. Next game is against Fulham. So, oh, this is, you know, you two are right next to each other. So you could exchange places. Depending on what you do. So, Fulham versus Huddersfield. And that's pretty much it. So that's the table. Saw a great documentary on Boxing Day about Graham Lasole, like what his playing life was about and the difficulty he went through and the highs and the lows and the time period that he played in, late 80s, 90s, into the 2000s. It was very intriguing and interesting. I remember watching Graham Lasole play for Chelsea. And I respect him now. It's funny because you're watching an interview where a guy is talking about not being fully accepted into the dressing room and kind of being bullied, you know, by the other players and called gay in a time where it was bad to be gay. It was seen as bad. But then he has to talk about that time. He was straight, but they just started this rumor that he was gay. And then now where gay is a very accepted thing, he has to talk about, without offending gay people, about back then people thinking he was gay without insulting gay people now. Or losing points as a person by insulting the world about a thing that he wasn't. So it was just a funny it wasn't an easy topic. It's almost as hard as watching that. I was like, don't say the wrong thing as you explain yourself. But he's explained it before, so he's used to saying it. But it's just interesting. A guy who played football in the 80s was teased about being gay. You're not gay. And gay is not a bad thing. But to defend yourself, or just defending yourself, period, might make you look like you're looking down on gay people. So how do you win a fight like that? Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy. You just say, fuck it. Just ignore it. Just keep going. And it's not going to be easy. And it wasn't easy. One of the things like Graham Lasole says he wishes when he first went to Chelsea, he wishes he wasn't as sensitive. And those are the things you don't know when you're young. I think a lot of, I don't know if I was more sensitive now or then. In some ways, I'm less sensitive than I was when I was younger and more sensitive to other things. Things that I am less sensitive to the things I expect myself to be sensitive to, and more sensitive to the things I don't expect myself to be sensitive to. And that's who I am. Who are you? Are you listening to this podcast? Could you tell your friends? Could you subscribe on iTunes? Could you leave a review? Could you enjoy your Christmas holidays and the new year? Bring it in. Be safe. Have fun. Live. Love. Be happy. This is Ian Edwards. 1.